This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. We've been talking about this incredible concept, this incredible idea of having an impact, having a reach, having a fingerprint as Christians. What should that look like in our world? What does that need to look like in our world? What does Jesus expect of us to leave as an impact? How can we follow in his footsteps to have a similar reach? So that the series has been, what's your reach? We've talked about the focus of heaven. We've talked about the mission of Christ. We've talked about the heart of the Father and how it surrounds this idea of helping people that are lost, helping people that are far away from God find their way back home, and how important that is as an assignment for us as believers. We believe in Christ. We're trying to follow after him. We want to know what his intention is for our faith walk. And so specifically, you know, we've talked about how we help those that are lost to find their way. Some people that have lost their compass. Some people that have lost their hope. Some people that have lost their way on the journey to help them find their way back. We've talked about those that are held captive by guilt, by fear, by circumstance to help set people free. That's also a part of it. But today I want to talk to you about the greatest miracle. Just say that with me. The greatest miracle. The greatest miracle. The greatest miracle that Jesus actually ever performed is probably not what you would expect. The greatest miracle that Jesus performed, what did it look like? It actually wasn't raising someone from the dead. You might have thought that's the greatest miracle. It wasn't feeding the 5,000. Maybe you thought that was, you know, really amazing when he fed 5,000 people out of just one single lunch. He took that and he, by the power of God, multiplies it, and he has enough to feed 5,000 plus people and then have 12 baskets left over. But that wasn't the greatest miracle either. He healed lepers, people with visible skin disorders that were highly contagious and on the outcast of society. He healed those people. But that wasn't the greatest miracle, actually. The greatest miracle that Jesus ever did was birthed out of simple obedience, surrender, and sacrifice. What he did on the cross was the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did. That's the greatest miracle of all. But the thing is, it didn't look spectacular when he did it. How many know that the greatest things that we do sometimes are not the most spectacular looking things? How many know when you have a conversation and there's just a heart-to-heart, sometimes people tell you, man, this really meant something to me. And it was a thing that you would have least expected. It was a thing that didn't really seem spectacular in the moment, but it was life-changing for them. The thing that changed history, the thing that split history in half and changed the fate of mankind, did not look spectacular in the moment. Sometimes the greatest things are actually the simplest. And the thing is, though, we as human beings love to complicate things. Even when we don't try to, we're complicating things. You know, we have whole universities where there's classes that they take something simple and they make it profoundly complicated. But actually, the beauty is in simplicity. And even in church, sometimes we get this wrong and we didn't mean to make it complicated, but we ended up making it complicated. But Jesus never meant it to be complicated like that. Look at somebody say, don't complicate it. Jesus made it very simple in Luke 19:10. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save those that were lost. His focus was not all these other miracles that he did. It actually was to seek and save those who were lost. His main focus was the redemption of man. His greatest miracle was the redemption of man. And it didn't look spectacular in the moment. He hung by two common criminals on a cross. He looked like possibly any other regular criminal. He looked like maybe any other enemy of Rome hanging on a cross. It was not spectacular in that time. But it was the simple obedience that changed everything. A simple obedience to God's plan. I hope you write that down somewhere in your Bible, in your notes, in your heart, in your phone. Simple obedience to God changes everything. Simple obedience. And so some of the greatest things we do are simple acts of obedience. It is not the focus of Christ to do the miraculous when he was on the earth. It was not his focus. That was a byproduct. It happened. And I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad that the lepers got healed. I'm glad that the 5,000 were fed. I'm glad that the sick were healed and the dead were raised. But actually, Jesus wasn't going around handing out flyers. We heal lepers. Come, get your exorcism. That's what we're doing. We're the exorcism people. You want exorcism? Come to us. No, that was not Jesus' focus. His focus was not to do the miraculous. His focus was to redeem mankind. Healing, miracles, deliverance are all byproducts of the redemption of man. They were a byproduct of Jesus' assignment. Man, I hope we get a hold of that as Christians, because sometimes we get a little bit off track. We start chasing after a miracle. We start chasing after, you know, a healing ministry or deliverance or whatever it is, when actually we need to be focused first and foremost on him. All those things, the scripture actually says signs and wonders will follow. That means I wasn't headed for the miracles. The miracles were just a byproduct of what I'm doing. Whatever that I'm doing in my life, the miracles, the healings, the deliverance, everything, it's a byproduct of where I'm going. My focus is actually the redemption of man. How many believe if that was Jesus' focus, that should be our focus, the redemption of man? And so the focus of heaven, the mission of Christ, the heart of the Father is to save the lost. Read your New Testament and you'll see it. Go back and go over the narrative of the Old Testament. It's all pointing to the redemption of man. The problem begins in Genesis. It's interweaved through the Old Testament. You have the law that's given to try to help correct and adjust and guide. We see that that doesn't completely fix the problem. We have prophets that rise up and say, turn back to God, turn back to the Father. Let's get back into the relationship. Let's get back into this redemptive position. Never really fully is established until Jesus shows up and he says, here I am. Salvation is here. The redemption was his focus. The purpose of all of his sacrifice points back to the redemption of man. And so the Father and Son, they continue this narrative of bringing the lost back home. It's a beautiful picture of the cross and a Savior that would go to any lengths to bring those that have lost their way back home and set those that are captive free. And the Holy Spirit in us bears witness to that assignment. The Holy Spirit within us bears witness to that storyline and invites us to be involved in the narrative of God the Father, Jesus the missionary and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, the one that empowers us, comforts us, says, hey, it's going to be okay, you can do this, empowers us, gives us a kick in the butt when we need it, so that we can be a part of this incredible storyline which leads back to this ultimate place of redemption. And it revolves around this concept of redemption. So the Holy Spirit inside of us, it's urging us to be a part of this narrative. The greatest miracle that we can perform comes from simple obedience. You don't have to be miraculous. God is already miraculous. You don't have to be miraculous. God is already miraculous. Sometimes so many people, they're trying to be miraculous, trying to be spectacular. That's not what he wants from us. He wants simple obedience. The The reason why God did all these things through Jesus is because he was surrendered and he was obedient. Through simple obedience, all of these miracles were poured out, but the greatest miracle was still redemption. It's simple obedience to the mission of Christ and the urging of the Holy Spirit that we gain the Father's heart. How do we get the Father's heart? Through simple obedience. I'm obedient enough to surrender, right? I'm obedient enough to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and continue this mission. And so in doing so, when I'm going through these actions, when I'm going through this, even when my heart isn't involved yet, it's just my actions. Guess what? God is working my heart into a position to where I actually care. My heart actually breaks for the lost. Because I'm first just acting in simple obedience. That's where we start. You don't have to have the heart for the lost. At first, you just start with a simple act of obedience. And then another simple act of obedience. And then another simple act of obedience. And then you turn around and you say, wow, my heart feels different. My heart feels different. I've been walking out this mission in simple obedience, and now my heart has been transformed to have some different feelings, to care and to have compassion in a way I never have before. There's a transformation that's happened within me through simple obedience. We're willing to surrender. We're willing to sacrifice, just like Christ did. The greatest miracle that we can perform is sharing Jesus. This world needs for you and I to share Jesus. You have a problem, I have an answer. You have a challenge, I have a solution. You're going through something, I have the medicine. His name is Jesus. We complicate things. We come up with all these elaborate solutions. The solution is Jesus. You can't legislate heart change. You can't legislate transformation of the hearts of man. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so simple obedience, although it's not always easy, it's not complicated. It's not complicated, it's simple. But I didn't say it was going to be easy. Sometimes we realize that. Anybody ever wanted to bring up Jesus in a conversation and you felt like some kind of resistance to that in the spirit? Just felt something, just kind of picked up on a vibe. That it was like, I kind of don't want to talk about Jesus right now in this environment. Ephesians 6:12 says, we're not actually wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers. And one translation says, world forces. And if you can imagine a force that just lays on the culture like a blanket and inhibits the desire to bring up the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus actually said when he was here, the spirit of the Antichrist is already among you. When you feel that desire not to bring up the name of Jesus, that is the spirit of the Antichrist in existence around you. There are world forces that lay, spirits of darkness that lay across the culture to try to stifle the conversation of faith. Anybody ever felt stifled? Like you wanted to talk about faith, but you felt like something, there's a resistance. Simple obedience. It's not always easy, but it's never complicated. Can I tell you, to begin a conversation with somebody about Jesus, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be able to exegete the scripture. You don't need to be able to go into the Greek and Hebrew and pull out all kinds of different definitions and concordances. No. Simple obedience and application of the testimony that God has given you. So you know that nobody can argue with your testimony. They can argue doctrine, they can argue theology, they can argue what they've seen, they can argue what they've heard or read, but they cannot argue your testimony. So why don't we just tell our testimony? Our testimony, it's the conversation of faith. When we look at the problems in our world, and there are many, and I know that you guys have seen them on the TV, on the news. Sometimes we watch the news too much. We just need to turn that off and pray a little bit. Amen. But we see hunger. We see disease. We see hate. We see crime. We see violence. We see injustice. What is the solution to these things? Jesus. Christ in us. The hope of something glorious that we have not yet attained. Christ in us waiting to be released. It's not about talking religious or being religious. It's actually just being real with the truth. The truth is Jesus, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the greatest solution that the world never knew that it needed. Jesus, Jesus, when we look at the world today, we see so many problems. What the world needs, the church more than ever, because the church has Jesus. The world needs you and me. Why? Because we have Jesus. When we have him and we share him with others, the greatest miracle happens. When we have him and when we share him, the greatest miracle happens. What would fix our political system in America? More people with the love of Jesus in their heart. What would solve hunger in our nation? What would solve hunger in our world? More people with the compassion of Jesus in their heart. What would solve disease and sickness and infirmity? More people in the health industry and scientists with the strategies and wisdom of Jesus and compassion of Jesus. Jesus is still the answer. We just sometimes overcomplicate what's going on. I heard a statement by Andrew Womack that I very much agree with. And that is, every oppressive government and oppressive institution that was ever overturned was overturned because more people, there just became more people that if enough people stand up and say no, the institution has to stop. The government has to change. Things have to break free. Why? We have an incredible solution in Jesus. The more people love Jesus and share Jesus and emulate Jesus, guess what? Our world becomes a better place. If you want to fix politics, share Jesus. If you're not happy with what you see in the entertainment industry, share Jesus. If you're not happy with what your kids are being taught in school, share Jesus. Jesus is the answer to transformation. You cannot legislate certain changes. But you can share Jesus and share your faith. And he can change all things. Do you know the most oppressive, maybe the most oppressive government of all times, the Roman Empire? They murdered people. They oppressed the Christians. They murdered Christians. They did all these things that were terrible and horrific and dogmatic and idolatrous, terrible things. But the power of sharing Jesus overcome the biggest government that the world still talks about and marvels at, Rome. Rome fell to the name of Jesus and bowed to the name of Jesus. Do you know there is power to change politics? There is power to change the economy, there is power to change entertainment, there is power to change the media, all within the name of Jesus. Where Jesus goes, the solution shows up as well. I was thinking about this story when Matthew decided to follow Jesus. And the first thing that he did was he invited Jesus to his house, and he brought all the tax collectors, were like the worst sinners in town, you know? And he puts Jesus right in the middle of all that. If you want to change your world, if we want to change things, if you want to change your circle of influence, put Jesus in the middle of the conversation. So when we talk about the reach of a Christian, a reach of somebody that believes, sharing our faith in Jesus has to be the center. It's like Matthew sitting Jesus in the middle of the table. When we talk about our greatest impact as Christians, when we talk about the greatest miracle God performs through us, it has to be the sharing of our faith in Jesus. The more Jesus we share, the more sickness is healed. The more Jesus is shared, the more poverty and crime goes away. The more Jesus is shared, injustice cannot stand in that environment. We can release the greatest miracle. You and I, we have the ability to release the greatest miracle. And the greatest thing that we can do is to simplify our faith journey and make sure we're responding in simple obedience. When we do simple obedience, it creates an environment that God does the miraculous. When I act in simple obedience, it creates a climate that God comes and enters into and begins to make miracles happen. First and foremost, the miracle that I'm looking for is the redemption of friends, of family, of people that are within my circle of influence, that are within the throw of my voice. That's the first thing, but also other miracles, just like Jesus, are following. Other miracles, there's breakthroughs for people. When I'm after the lost, when I'm after redemption, when I'm after setting people free, actually there's other miracles. People are getting healed. People, their finances are getting right again. All because my focus is where it needs to be. We should build our lives around a faith that is built on simple obedience to the word of God, to the command of Christ, and to the focus of heaven. I love how the Apostle Paul said it. He said, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation." I love it. "To everyone who believes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God." I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. What does this power do? It's the power, the very power of God is pointed in the direction of redemption of man. To everyone that believes. So, what is keeping us from releasing the greatest miracle? What is keeping you and I today? It's a great question. Is it fear of rejection? Is it fear of failure? Is it thinking that it's someone else's job or responsibility to share? Is it really not understanding the mission or command of Jesus in its fullness? What is keeping us from having a greater impact? What is keeping you today from being truly miraculous and having a greater reach? Will you bow your heads? Let me pray with you today. God, I thank you that you would challenge our hearts to do what is written in this word, to simplify our faith walk, to understand if we focus on your mission, miracles are going to follow us. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God," doing things his way, and all those other things, that house, that spouse, those things that you're praying about getting worked out, those things are going to be added to you. And don't let your focus be the miracles. Let your focus be the greatest miracle, which is when people's heart changes in the direction of God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you would give us a heart like you. Give us a mission, the same mission that Christ had. Give us the focus of heaven. God, we want that. We want to care for brothers and sisters that we've never met, family members that are far from you, co-workers that do not, they're not even close to being on a spiritual journey. God, give us a heart for the lost. Give us a heart for those that are held captive by guilt, by fear, by condemnation, by bad relationships, by debt. God, help us to be the ones that set people free. God, I thank you, Lord. Stir in us the change that our world needs. And God, as people's heads are bowed, maybe somebody says, Pastor, I think you're talking about me. I'm that one that's, I'm a little lost right now in my spiritual walk. I'm trying to get right. I want to get right. My heart is to get right, but I just feel like I've been knocked off course and just trying to get back on the right track with Jesus. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I want you to say these words, and everybody, you can say this in agreement. Jesus, thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for dying for me. Help me live like you. Help me walk like you. Help me surrender like you. Jesus, I give you 100% of me. Help me live alike like you and love the lost and share my faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.